Now we're going to read together in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, we have the wonderful prophecy of Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, and the verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Amen. And we know the Lord will follow with his own blessing the reading of his precious word. We will look to the Lord as we come to the word tonight. Our gracious eternal Father, we do bow in thy holy and divine presence with grateful and thankful hearts. We praise thee for the cross. We praise thee for that way that God has devised to bring down and out rebel sinners such as us to the knowledge of himself. We praise thee tonight for the one who was found faithful in things pertaining to God and in making reconciliation for the sins of the people. We know that we can preach an uttermost salvation. We can preach Christ, the mighty to save. We know, Lord, that none need perish, for Christ has died and has risen again and lives to save to the uttermost all those that come to God by him. And we pray, Lord, that men and women and young people in this service will have done with their own thoughts and their own notions and ways. And may they come and obey the gospel. May they heed the gospel call and make the Lord, the man Christ Jesus, the one who was crucified for us and bore our sins on his own body on the tree. We pray that they will make him by faith and repentance the Savior and Lord of their lives. Oh, draw near to us now. May the Holy Spirit be poured out, and may there be heavenly wisdom given to choose life and to flee from spiritual death. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. We come to the words of the verse 37. Of Jeremiah chapter 2, the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Jeremiah, the Lord's prophet, he spoke out against the waywardness and the sins of Judah. The heathen who had no light, no knowledge of the true God, shamed them by their unswerving devotion to their idols. Judah forsook the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Its people turned to broken cisterns. They put their confidence in Assyria, and the Assyrians carried them away captive. They trusted in Egypt only to be disappointed yet again. All that they put their confidence in proved worthless. It failed them. Sadly, these people have many imitators. Many today walk in their steps. They build their hopes for eternity, for heaven, on a foundation which has no scriptural basis. Could it be that you are such a person? You have confidence regarding the hereafter. You are confident that heaven will be your eternal home. But your confidence is misplaced. What is said of these people in our text is applicable to yourself. The Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. We have all known what it is to have had a misplaced confidence. Oh, you had confidence in a plan. You felt that it was meticulously thought out, that it was bound to work, but it failed. Maybe you had confidence in an individual, but you were let down. What can we say of a confidence that is misplaced, worthless in regard to the salvation of our souls? What a calamity! Imagining all is well, only for your confidence to be swept away, rejected, and for your soul to perish. Oh, make sure that you have a true hope, a true relationship with God through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to this text, we want to look at it in a threefold way. First of all, let us consider together false confidences. What are they? For a great many people tonight, it is religion. Multitudes have wrapped around them a great cloak and facade of religion. They read their Bible, and that's good. They say their prayers. They are loyal to their church. They have been baptized, confirmed. They receive communion. They are as religious can be. We think of the Pharisee in the parable that the Lord related in Luke chapter 18. Oh, he was a very religious individual. He did not neglect the temple, the place of worship. He was often found there. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, this Pharisee, he could say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was thoroughly religious, right from the crown of the head to the sole of his feet. But this man, he had no true saving relationship with God. Oh, it's possible to be religious and not be spiritually regenerated. To be religious and not have your heart renewed by grace. Cain was a religious person. He came to worship at God's altar. He brought the best that he could to that altar of worship. But the Bible says, woe to those that go in the way of Cain. You need more than religion to take you to heaven. Religion in itself is a ladder that will fall short. False confidences for many. It is religion. For others, it is righteousness. That is homespun. That is all of self. Oh, so many today go around trying to establish their own righteousness. This is a popular occupation. You see, man is naturally self-righteous. From the highest to the lowest, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. The Proverb 20 and verse 6 spells it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. The plain testimony of the Scriptures is forgotten. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and the verse 20, the Word of God says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Do you see the sweep of those words? They take every one of us in. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. These questions are raised in Job chapter 15 and verse 14. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? I am sure that you have looked in the mirror today, and the mirror has given a true reflection. You are what you are when you look into the mirror. And the mirror of Scripture, it does not flatter. It does not deceive. It gives a true reflection. And as you stand before it, you must cry with the leper, unclean, unclean. This book, God's Word, the mirror, it reveals that there is none righteous. No, not one. False confidences. For some it's religion, for others it's their own righteousness, and for still others they reckon on the mercy of God. They say, don't you know that God is all merciful? And in light of that fact, I cannot perish. A merciful God will never turn sinners into hell. What happened when Adam sinned? Did paradise smile on our first parents as before? When Adam sinned, he died spiritually. And he brought upon all mankind not only physical death, but spiritual death. And we read of Adam being driven out of the Garden of Eden and of the flaming sword barring the way to the tree of life. And why was that? Because God is also a God of justice as well as a God of mercy. God shows mercy to the truly penitent, but not to the impenitent. And for you to go on in sin because mercy abounds is the devil's reasoning. In Psalm 11 and verse 6, we learn upon the wicked, God shall rain snares, fire and brimstone in an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Go on in your sin, in your Christ rejection, because of God's mercy, and you will have judgment without mercy. False confidences. There are others who rest on a decision. A decision which is bereft of any reality, any spiritual substance, evidence, or fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is absent. There's no following on to know the Lord. There's no taking up of the cross. No hungering and thirsting after righteousness. No heart's delight in the Scriptures or frequenting of the house of prayer. There's no desire to walk with God or to live by the book. Are you living on a decision, a profession, and not a possession? And how many rely on and pin and place all their confidence in their works? Their creed amounts to this: I'm doing the best I can. What more can I do? By your works you're striving to please God, to accumulate, to build up merit with him. Adam and Eve thought that their works would make amends for their sin. Shamed by their sin, they with their own hands sewed those fig leaves together in an attempt to endear themselves to God. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, the fig tree was the only one that he cursed. Your works, far from being pleasing to God, they are obnoxious in his sight. Paul, speaking of salvation in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, he says that God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Have we touched in this list what you're depending on, trusting in? If so, yours is a false confidence. It's not a sure foundation. It's not one that will stand the scrutiny of the great judge of all the earth. False confidences. Then we must consider together the folly of such confidences. Notice how the prophet Jeremiah, he warns the people of Judah. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, from Egypt, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Here's a people who have turned away from God. They have looked to the nations of Assyria and Egypt for help, but all in vain. And we see these people with their hands on their heads. They are confounded. They are disappointed. In 2 Samuel chapter 13 and the verse 19, we read of Tamar. She put ashes on her head and rent her garments of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. She's crying out, mourning over sin. And everything that Judah did and trusted in failed. Like Noah's dove, they sought rest, but found none. Having left the Lord out of their reckoning, there was no prosperity for them, no relief, no refuge, no rest, nothing but woe. The same is true of yourself. Religion without Christ. A righteousness which is all of self. A trusting in your own works. Resting on an empty decision. Looking to the mercy of God without genuine heart repentance. When you stand before God with such false confidences, your folly will be all too apparent. Your cry will be, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a lost soul. The Lord has rejected my confidences. I am without God, without Christ, and without hope. Oh, awaken while you're in time. Awaken to your folly now. Isn't it true that you're so thoughtful, careful, studious about what and who you put your confidence in regard to the run-of-the-mill things, the day-to-day things of life? You're wise enough never to lean on a broken stick or to entrust your earthly affairs to fools. Oh, do not play the fool with the well-being of your soul. Make sure that your spiritual house is in order. See to it that you are truly right with God, that it is well with you. Lastly, we come to the firm confidence of the gospel. If only the people of Judah had turned to the Lord, they would have found him, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in the time of trouble. When the Philistines came against Israel at Mizpah, they pleaded with Samuel the prophet to pray for them. And Samuel, when he went in before God, he offered up a sucking lamb and he obtained mercy for his people, his nation. God's mercy, men and women, it flows to us through the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb. God can deal with sinners such as you and I in mercy because the blood of Christ has been shed and there's pardon and their salvation full and free because of Calvary. Oh, renounce all other confidences and fly to the cross. Fly to the wounds of the Son of God. We are accepted, Ephesians 1 and 6, in the Beloved. You will never be accepted with God on any other basis, try as you may, apart from the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, the Word of God has this to say, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The words are plain. They are straightforward. They are not complicated. The only foundation for the great eternity that is laid is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 28, the Lord is spoken of in these lovely words of verse 16. "I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, not be confounded." Men and women perishing in your sin, there is a sure foundation. There is a precious cornerstone, a tried stone. If you reject Christ, you will be rejected. Receive Him by faith, and you will be received into glory. "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed." Romans 9:33. Not be ashamed or confounded. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Oh, flee to the Savior. Put all your trust for your soul's salvation in Him, and it will be well with you for all eternity. In Romans 8 and verse 30, the Word of God speaks of those whom God did predestinate. Them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Their glorification is spoken of as already accomplished, though they still be on earth. What a sure foundation. What a sure foundation for the great eternity. John, writing to the believers in endearing terms, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, he said, "Little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." What confidence do you have regarding your soul's well-being? There's only confidence, true confidence, in the finished work of the cross, in the Christ of God, the one whom the Father sent to be the Savior of the world. Oh, may you make haste and flee to Christ and find in Him full salvation. It flows in that crimson tide. May the Lord bless His word
and bring you to himself.